welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. I'm David Jennings from the Racing Post, and I'm standing into the shoes of Sam Hart this week, and joining me to preview all the action for Scottish National Weekend, we have Ed Nicholson from our sponsors Unibet, we've got Tom Park, and we've got our betting editor Keith Melrose. And before we get stuck into this week's action, we have to reflect on last week at Aintree, Ed Nicholson, because you boys knocked it right out of the park. Tell us all about it.
We did. There were plenty on the podcast that got the winner of the Grand National, I Am Maximus, and on previous podcasts, so that was great. My nap managed to win at 9-1, Control Cruise, and we had a few other winners, so it was a really good podcast. Does that mean we're going to continue in the same vein? I hope so.
Wow, what a nap that was, Cruise Control, brilliant. And it was one of them ones, I'd say, Cruise Control, where you really got value for your money because he was pinging Everton, he was out in front, and he really grinded it out after the last, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a horse that I've liked for a long time. And when he gets in close, he's not clever enough to get out of it. So he's still a bit helter-skelter as well. A couple of occasions, so you kind of had your heart in your mouth, well, I did anyway. But he's a lovely horse, lovely big horse who could go on to bigger things. Yeah, but that was good.
Okay, so and joining Ed, of course, is Keith Melrose, our betting editor, and Tom Park, two boys with strong opinions. Looking forward to the weekend. Keith, how was the Grand National meeting at Aintree for you?
It was really good. Obviously, you and I saw each other on Thursday, Friday. We were doing good morning shows, and my week got better punting-wise as it went on, really decent Friday. And then, yeah, it was. I found myself agreeing with Paul Keeley a lot on Saturday, and as anybody who saw how Keel's got on, that was a good place to be. I came within a head of getting all three chase winners on a Saturday, so it was it was a good day overall. It's coming at the time of year. I do really enjoy this time of year. A lot of staying chases, a lot of these novices coming into the races and competing in big pots. Cruise Control being a really strong example of that. So it is a time of year that I really enjoy punting.
And as you said, Paul Keeley has been knocking out of the park. Everything he touches is turning to gold. And over the last few months, everything Tom Park has been touching has been turning to kind of silvery gold. It's getting towards gold. You're in good form, Tom. How was the Grand National for you?
Yeah, it was good. I was on a stag do actually in Berlin with
Andrew Wilshire.
Yeah, it was Andrew Wilshire's. Yeah, and postcast regular Robbie Wilders was there. So that was it was an interesting weekend. I think we were probably the only three people in Berlin sat round a form watching 2 mile handicap hurdles over the weekend. But it was really good fun, to be fair.
Yeah, probably with loads of girls dancing around you, I'd say.
I keep my mouth shut on that one, but yeah, it was good fun. It was really good fun.
What happens on tour stays on tour. Okay, let's get stuck into the action, and we kick off with the 1:15 at Ayr on Saturday. It's the Scotty Brand Handicap Chase, and it does see your Red Rum winner from the Aintree meeting, Sainsbury, back out again. Paul Nicholls, he's gunning for this title currently, round about your 11-4 favourite after declarations came true. Traprain Law is 4-1. Pembroke, who's after having a wind operation, is 9-2. Uncle Phil is also 9-2. Persian Time is 13-2. And that old lovable servant, Tommy's Oscar, is also around a 7-1 shot. Right, Parky, you're fresh this weekend. You have a clear mind. You have no hangover. Give us the winner of the 1:15 at Ayr.
Yeah, how good is this title race? It's really kind of spicing up this racing. We're just going to have ding-dong every single race. I'm signed with Skelton in this one. I am getting frustrated, as I'm sure a lot of Pembroke followers have been. But
failure pain.
Yeah, like Connections, they obviously think this horse is very good. Skelton said on numerous occasions that he's constantly working the house down. Right? I think that's probably why he went off. I think he went off like 7-2 for a county hurdle a couple of years ago. He's clearly got talent, and he's just not quite been doing it. Look, the wind op's interesting. Skelton's going to be doing everything he possibly can to win these kind of races. I'm happy to give him one more go on the back of the wind op. And look, if this is the time Skelton needs this horse to come good, he's obviously got a lot of faith in him. Pembroke for me.
Oh, very forgiving, isn't he, Keith?
Yes, I mean, I can sort of see why he does it. This is a belting race, by the way. You've got Red Rum winner from last week, Traprain Law, who I thought was going to be Lucinda's Red Rum horses in this race as well. They could be a bit of destructive interference. I don't think either of them can really help themselves, so they're both going to go quite hard. I think that potentially sets up quite nicely for Pembroke, and I'm forgiving him this one as well because
oh no, after, well, here look, we go.
I wrote this after he was third in the Pendle, didn't really get home, and I wrote in the notes at that time, either he needs his wind doing again or he's a two-miler. He's had his wind done and he's running over 2 miles. So I can't really ask for any more. They've done everything I asked. So I've got to side with him one more time. He is a talented horse. I think the trip suits him. He might be a little bit of a gasper, but he's a horse that is probably going to be a two-miler. So I think Pembroke's the one to be with.
Can we complete the set, Ed Nicholson? Are you going to talk some sense into these boys? What wins the opener there?
Well, I concur. It's a great race, but I don't concur with the selection. Son Brew, for me, mightily impressive at Aintree. Has been put up a fair hike. I'm sure Keith would have noticed that, and more than anything, been put up £10. But he deserved that £10 hike because he won really well and showed the kind of form that I think Paul Nichols thought the horse was going to bring when he bought him over from Ireland. He's taken time to acclimatise, apparently. I also know that he hasn't been able to settle that well in the races, and they were worried about that. So change of tactic, going from the front. Bryony gave him a lovely ride, and it was never in doubt. He had a good record in France. I think he was competing grade ones, grade twos, without success. But it was a good horse, and they obviously bought him thinking they could do something with him. Starting off 130, now going up to 140, still a nice handicap rating. Paul Nichols does well at this meeting historically. I am a little concerned with the speed of the race from the get go. That might be a worry, and it might set it up for horses like Pembroke. You're dead right, but I just think there's a bit more in the tank. So Son Brew, I think is a good bet to follow up around about 11 to 4. I should say, Dave.
I'm going to actually interrupt you here because I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to explain it properly, okay? Because this is a super boost race, isn't it? Super boost race. So for you know, maybe maiden listeners and viewers to the podcast who might know what the super boost is, it means that basically whatever price you back your horse at, it goes to the next biggest price. Isn't that right, Ed?
Yeah, from 9 o'clock on Saturday. So if you're watching this on Thursday night or Friday, you've got to wait until 9 a.m. Saturday. But yeah, we're boosting the next price up the price ladder. So if we're showing 11 to 4 San Brew, you'll get 3 to 1.
Excellent. That is brilliant stuff. So that means if you back Pembroke at 9 to 2, it means you back a 5 to 1 loser. So congratulations. There you go. That's Pembroke. You get 5 to 1 instead of 9 to 2. That's the way it works, kind of thing. And fair play to the lads for staying loyal to Pembroke. I jumped off the Pembroke train after Lingfield in January when I thought everything went beautifully for him and he still was well beaten by JPR1. So I'm off the Pembroke train, but I have been on it for a long time. So the very best of luck, lads. Hopefully you can grab me back on at some stage. So it's 2 votes for Pembroke and 1 for Sans Brewy in the opener at Ayr. And of course, don't forget that super boost. Moving on to the 150, it is the CPMS Novices Handicap Chase. And Montgomery for Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch is just about favourite, round about the 9 to 2 mark. Mufasa is 7 to 1. Hitching Jacking, is 8 to 1. Deeper Blue 9 to 1. Inch House is 10 to 1. And we've got an extra place in this race, Ed.
Yeah, I think you need it. Another competitive race on ITV. Really good handicap, deep. Some of the horses that are racing on big double figure prices, you wouldn't expect to see them running at those sorts of odds. And I'm going to choose one. I'm going for Inch House, who's another horse that people have followed over a cliff over the last few runs. Beaten at short odds at Newbury when hung. I'm going to forgive that and just put a line through it. He's running here with a tongue tie for the first time. Might be significant. I'm grabbing onto that. And he's a horse that you would have thought would have been winning off 136, 137 yesterday, last time dropped to 136. If you watched him win his opening two races or two of his first three, you would have thought that he's going places. So always forgive a horse a race. He ran at Cheltenham when cruising but making mistakes. He probably doesn't want the ground too heavy. And we last week with the Grand National, I certainly tipped up some horses that I thought would get better on heavy ground. And it certainly wasn't heavy. So be careful what the going is. I did check the going and the weather expert said, if you're going to Ayr Racecourse, you need to bring a brolly. That's about as far as it went. So I don't know how much rain they'll get, but there will be rain and it's soft going. Perhaps Keith will tell us more, but he doesn't weigh too heavy, I don't think, Inch House. But I thought he had a decent chance and I'm going to give him one more go at around about 10 to 1.
Excellent. That's Inch House for the O'Neill partnership. Keith Melrose, you can tell us about the weather and the potential ground, but you're also a staying chase aficionado. It's how you've made your reputation. This is obviously a novice's handicap chase, but it's 3 miles. This is your thing. I've built you up. Don't let me down.
Yeah, it is a really deep race again, and these are the sort of horses that are going to be really interesting to me next autumn. You know, a lot of horses from this come in and do well in your autumn staying chases next year.
That's a whole lot of good
to us. I know. Well, but you should... I like to watch replays. This is, I don't find winners. They don't appear out of thin air. They appear from the previous races, DJ.
That's true, Keith.
You should all be paying attention to these and taking notes for future. And, you know, I say it quite a lot on these, and we should all be doing it. But anyway, this is it's probably going to be soft ground. The going was 5.7 on Thursday morning. It's all going to hedge on what rain they get today, because they've called 6.2 and 6.4 good to soft already this spring at Ayr. So if they don't get much rain today, there's not an awful lot forecast Friday, Saturday, I don't think. So it could be getting towards good to soft. But I'd say you don't want mudlarks, which is why I don't fancy Mr. Incredible in the big race. And you, but at the same time, your good ground horses are probably going to get disappointed. So just somewhere in the middle of those two. The horse, I mean, I think my main fancy in this race is going to be Hitching Jacking. Skelton's won this last year with Sail Away. This is a different sort of horse, but... he's probably always wanted 3 miles, and didn't, I think, last time at Kempton was them finding out about that horse at the trip. Harry Skelton did basically what he needed to get third, and that was your lot. And he has a horse, he has been a horse that's looked like he's been learning all the time to me. That was his best round of jumping at Kempton. He'd been a bit sketchy in a couple of runs before that, but he's getting there now on that evidence. So he'd be the main selection, but I think Parky's going to be going to put him up. So I would also put in a little bit of a word for Young Buster, who is a big price. He's going to be about 14, 16 to 1 or something. And I thought he would have been second last time to Egbert, who ran very well in that race at Kempton that we just talked about with Hitching Jacking. But for Paddy Brennan dropping his hands late in the day, and before that, he'd been really, really progressive. He's stoutly bred, going to suit 3 miles, and has just been forgotten about on the basis of one fairly modest run that I find, to be honest, more forgivable than Inch House. That horse looks like he's blown his brains to me, but he was very, very promising earlier in the season. So Hitching Jacking's a selection, but there's definitely a price at which I'm backing Young Buster.
Excellent. So you both agreed in the opening race with Pembroke. By the sounds of things, you're a Hitching Jacking fan, Parky.
Keith set me up here. I fancy just about every Skelton horse on the card, but apart from Hitching Jacking. It's the only one I'm not tipped up. I agree with Ed, though. I'm an Inch House fan. I think I'm like Mr. Forgiven today, because, look, he's clearly well handicapped. I think the prices that he's kind of been going off his for his races suggest that. His run last time, it takes a lot of forgiving, because it was really poor. He was kind of pulling his head from side to side. He clearly hated it. I think it's key that he's had a break since. He'd had quite a busy time of things up to the build-up to that race. And look, I just can't get over how impressive he was on Ladbrokes Trophy Day. And if he can repeat that performance, like I think he's a good bit better than his mark of 136.
Would you be worried about the stable form, Tom? Because he's zero from 15 and his last 15 runners, not like, and Are You Wise to That was well supported yesterday at Cheltenham with 130 and just never got into it. Mr. Meggett was hampered at Aintree, was very well beaten in the end. And I'm just a bit concerned about stable form.
Who was that? There was one that it came down, it like unseated.
Springwell Bay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would have gone close, I think. I know Robbie was tearing his hair out putting that come down. But, I think that would have gone close. It is a slight concern. But, you know, this time of year, he's up against a lot of big stables in these big races. And then in the others, is he really putting out all that he can fire? I just think, I like the fact that he's had a bit of a break. And they clearly think he's good. Like, he's been going off at short prices for handicap chasers. I just think he's the one who I think potentially could be well ahead of his mark.
Excellent. So it's Inch House for Tom Park and Hitching Jacking for Keith Melrose. And Ed Nicholson is also with Inch House. So moving on to the 225. And this is a corker, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Scottish Champion Hurdle. Not only do we have an extra place here with Unibet, we've also got money back on the second and third, which I think you'll deserve, because I think you'll find the second and third in this race, you're doing okay. Lodisod is currently our market leader in around 4-1. Favour and Fortune, who was sixth in the Supreme, 13-2. Then there's a big gap to Bialystok for Willie Mullins, chasing that first trainer's title in Britain. Rubaz, 14-1. And we've got some classy customers in around the 16-1 mark. Affidil, who's been in good form of late. First Street, who's after having a wind operation, is as big as 16-1. Florida Dreams is in there. This, for me, I know we've got the Scottish National, Tom Park, but this, for me, is the race of the day. This is a corker.
Yeah, it is a really good race. Yeah, there's a First Street's interesting, isn't he? He was kind of last off the list. I kind of thought he might run a big race at Cheltenham, and they kind of pulled him out of the Coral Cup, and it was more the fact that they were stepping him up 2.5 miles that interested me. So I'm happy enough to leave. I'm going to play this quite simple. I think Lodisod will take all the beating here. I think he was beaten by a proper good one in the county hurdle. We might be looking back at that like the Martin Pipe a couple of years ago, where Absurd was just, well, it was pretty absurd that he was kind of running off that mark. At the end of the day, he was an e-ball winner running off 138. And the way that he kind of sliced through the field, he kind of won like one as well. Lodisod backed off the boards and ran a perfectly good race, just like he did in the Betfair hurdle, where he was beaten by Iberico Lord, who obviously went on to run in the champion hurdle. So I still think there's plenty of scope of 138. And if Skelton has him anywhere near like he had him in the county hurdle, I just think he'll take all the beating here. I think he's probably the best horse in the race, and he's what, fifth down in the list. So I'm going to play it simple and go with Lodisod. I think he's a cracker, to be fair.
Big shout. If he's the best horse in the race, that means he should be rated 148, which means he has £10 in hand, according to Tom Park. That's Lodisod up £3 for that cracking run in the county hurdle up to a mark of 138. Currently, Unibet's 3-1 favourite. Keith Melrose. A lot of people will be listening here saying he was 7-2 to win the county hurdle. He beat all other 16 runners apart from Absurd. He's only £3 higher, and he's still 3-1 with Unibet for the Scottish champion hurdle, which probably mightn't be quite as strong as the county hurdle. Is this not a cracking price?
It could well be. I try and get favourite speed, but I can absolutely see it here, and 3-1 seems perfectly fair in a really competitive race. My sort of nod and suggestion would be to take advantage of all Unibet's various offers here, because the extra place and money back second, third, is exactly the sort of circumstances under which I'd want to back First Street, actually. Because he has got that slightly higher mark, he has loads of good form in these sort of races. I like that he missed Cheltenham, actually. Obviously, the reasons for it are far from ideal, but he came in this race last year having won a big race in the county hurdle and seemed to have found it a little bit too much. He also ran like poorly at Aintree the year before, having won at Cheltenham. So he's coming here fresh this time, and I thought that was probably a good thing. And he's quite a big price, and you're getting four places with extra boosts if he's second or third. And I thought that was exactly the circumstances in which I'd back him.
Brilliant. 11-1 currently with Unibet First Street. I think he's very dangerous. I do. Another one I think is dangerous is Favour and Fortune, who I think is probably ahead of his mark. But there's so many in here ahead of their marks. Ed Nicholson, what do you like in the Scottish Champion Hurdle?
I think the two horses that have been spoken about are the two most likely winners for me. Lodisod, I same as you, DJ. I looked at the price and I thought, actually, that's quite a good price. 3.72, given what he's done second in two big handicaps. Not gone up that much. 138 is he running off on Saturday, having run the county in 1.35 and the Betfair on 1.29. Just looks exactly the sort of horse that's going to carry on. He's only had three runs this year. The one worry would be the faster ground. If you look at his form, it's heavy, soft. He has won or run well on good to soft. I think run well on good to soft. But if it was getting quicker, that would be a slight worry. Not that I don't know he doesn't go in it, but I know that he performs on deeper ground. So that would be a slight worry. The other, the flip of the coin is that First Street is probably better on better ground. So those are the two that I'd put up. First Street, first run after a wind op, which is interesting. Also, Nico and Nikki read their Unibet blogs, because they do talk about this horse in this race. And they have run this race before. Verdana Blue won this obviously rated much higher than First Street. I think he's rated, she was rated 158 or something. But he does like this race, Nikki, so well worth having a look at the blog. And I thought 16s or 14s was a fair price. I'm actually, just by coincidence, I'm at Cheltenham today with the winning owner of this race in 2001. Who remembers a horse called Yolundi? What a horse that was. Won the Scottish Champion Hurdle, won at Royal Ascot. We went over for the Galway Hurdle and went over to America for the Arlington Million when he came fourth in that. So, it brought back memories when I was looking at the race and looking at the previous winners and seeing good old Yolundi's name in 2001. But the horse, I think, will have the name.
Paul Weber?
It was Paul Weber, and started his career with Lady Harris. Or originally was over in France with André Favre, but didn't race. And they started his career in bumpers, believe it or not. Got beaten in a bumper over 1.5 miles at Market Raisin by a horse that ended up rated 66 on the flat. Just goes to show horses perform at different times of their career, doesn't it? Anyway, going back to this race, Lo de Sade, I think, will be the winner next to the 2024 version. I just think he's got quite a lot of things going for him. Just that slight concern about the going. That's the only thing for me.
Okay, excellent. So we've kind of narrowed it down to two, we think, Lo de Sade. And if you're looking at something at a bigger price, it is First Street who brings the class edge into the race. Moving on to the 3 o'clock, it is the Jordan Electrics Limited Seafield Trophy Mayor's Handicap Hurdle. And it seems a lot of the females from Cloyes Sutton are making the trip over for a day out because he's got C'est La Vie, he's got Pink in the Park, and he's got A Penny a Hundred as well, in what promised to be a very, very interesting race, because we've got the Irish mares taking on the English mares, and currently C'est La Vie is in around your 7-2 favourite. Coco Mademoiselle, who I think is a smart enough mare in her own right, is 9-2. Pink in the Park for Willie Mullins, 5-1. Larchmont Last, 6-1, and 12-1. Bar, we'll stick with you here, Ed. Three Willie Mullins representatives. He had plenty to choose from to run in this race. It's a tricky puzzle to solve, isn't it?
Yeah, 23k to the winner, which might make a difference at the end of the season. So Willie's brought over three horses to try and win this prize. They're all not his best, are they? Obviously. But I thought each of them was beatable, to be honest. I was looking for an angle, and the one I looked at was the lightly raced Larchmont Lass. Only had four hurdle races. Paul Nicholls does really well with these type of horses. I mean, the fact that she ran and was targeted for the mare's hurdle at Newbury, the grade two, the handicap hurdle, I thought was interesting because that was her first race in the handicap, rated 113. I would be absolutely sure that she's going to win off a higher mark than 113 during her career. And I watched the replay of that race back before this show, and she was last turning in, or second last, and she made ground. That was over 2.5. This is over 3. I can see him taking the same steps, holding her up, and the extra distance she should just relish. And I think she's potentially well handicapped. I really wouldn't be surprised if Paul wins this. And Harry Copton on board is obviously a positive, the way that Harry's riding at the moment, the way the race will be run, the fact she's unexposed. I thought there's a lot to like about Larchmont Lass. And you could put holes in all of the Willie Mullins mares, although they've been running in graded races, that, you know, they haven't. I thought there was the reasons to oppose each and every single one of them. So I'd make Larchmont Lass a really good bet because she's unexposed, and I think she could be much better than a handicap mark at the moment, especially over further.
Excellent. There you go, Larchmont Lass in around 6-1 shot for Ed Nicholson from our sponsors, Unibet. Right, Parky, this is my first strong opinion of the day. I think Coco Mademoiselle is crying out for a step up the 3 miles. I know she tried it at Ascot when I just thought she was ridden a bit too forcefully, didn't jump well enough. I thought last time at Chepstow was much more fluent. She was entitled to win the way she did. But I think this is quite a talented mare, Coco Mademoiselle. I think she's far more talented than a mark of 121. And I think she's one of the bets of the day. Tell me I'm wrong.
I totally agree. Absolutely agree, yeah. She's been touched off at a few short prices. But like when she's looked good, she's looked pretty good, hasn't she? Like, and none so than when she won at Chepstow on heavy ground last time. I totally agree. I think the step up in trip is going to make a massive difference here. And like Skelton will have had plenty of darts to fire at this race. So like, it's interesting. He just relies on the one. The handicap has left her alone. She's so unexposed because it's very difficult for a handicap to kind of get a hold of a mare like this when she's her only start in a handicap. She kind of, I think she pulled up, didn't she, at Ascot? So Yeah, I'm happy to give her the Ascot run. The fact she ran and won so convincingly the next time. Step up to 3 miles, definitely going to suit. And yeah, any rain that falls, I think, will help as well. I'm a big Coco Mademoiselle fan as well.
Excellent. Speaking sense, Tom Park. Coco Mademoiselle for me, Coco Mademoiselle for Tom Park, and hopefully Coco Mademoiselle for our betting editor.
Well, neutral on this one. I mean, it's not my sort of race, all these Midlands horses that I don't know and didn't particularly have an hour to delve into all the replays. It's a proper no-bet race for me, this one.
Okay, there we go. Well, listen to me, DJ, Parky, stick your fiver on Coco Mademoiselle.
DJ, what's the best Willie Mullins horse?
Well, I would have said very much initially, I would have thought Sayla V was pretty talented, and she won a Punchestown a while ago, and I thought she was reasonably classy. Like, she went off 13-2 to beat Astro Diamond in a great race at Fairy House last season, but it's just been all a bit stop-start for her this season. I do think she's probably the most talented of them, though, but she's rated 137. She has to give £16 to Coco Mademoiselle. I don't think she's going to be able to do that, but I do think she's probably the best of them. C'est la vie. Moving on to the 3:35. It is the big one on Saturday, and this is going to have a massive impact on the trainer's title, because Willie Mullins sends over a big team for this race. And currently, with Unibet, McDermott, trained by Willie Mullins, is your 5-1 favourite. Mr. Incredible, trained by Willie Mullins, is 6-1 second favourite. Gitmaker is 7-1. It is 15-2 about Angler's Crag. It is 11-1 about Stay Away Fade, a class horse in the race. Can he do it for Paul Nicholls? Inish Orr is 12-1. Quacker Clan for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore is also 12-1. Beauport is 14-1. My Silver Lining, that lovable grey, is 14-1. Mr. Vango, who ran so well in the National Hunt Chase, to finish third, but probably needs it softer, 16-1. It is 18-1 Spanish Harlem for Willie Mullins. It is 18-1 Ballygriffin College for Dan Skelton. It is 18-1 also Clarkhead for Willie Mullins, and it's 20-1 Bar. Right, Keith Melrose, you've been telling us all this episode that you're a stay and chase guru. This is your
You've been telling people that. You've been telling people that. But no, these are the races I focus on.
These are the ones you're really good at. Like, I know I work with you, I know you're the betting editor, but you're proper good at this kind of stuff. So my ears are pricked, Keith.
Yeah, the way I play this race is genuinely going to depend on what the ground's like. Now, I have just looked again at the forecast. It is going to bucket down here today. So I am erring towards your softer ground horses, but I've never really fancied Mr. Incredible for this race. Here's a sort of track where when you turn in, there's just a little downhill run to that first fence in the straight, and quite a lot of horses get found out on that one. And I think Mr. Incredible's the type to get behind. It's a race for front runners, a Scottish National, actually. There's a lot of turning that goes on. That being so, and with the ground potentially being soft, you know, if it's better ground, Dinosaur goes very high on my shortlist, and even the complete rag whistle and the dart might run a bit of a race on better ground. But I'm assuming it's soft. And in that being the case, soft ground, front runners. Do you know what else happened in the National Hunt Chase as well as Mr. Vango running a good race against much better horses? He got qualified for Premier Handicaps. They did the same with this. They did the same thing at Fakenham, albeit not in the National Hunt Chase, with Step Back. The year that horse won the Whitbread. You know, they got him qualified in a little race at Fakenham to get the third run in that you need to qualify for these chases. And that's what they did with Mr. Vango at Cheltenham. You know, a perfectly good race against horses that are of handicap much, much higher than him. And I really like the booking of Jack Tudor too. Everything's coming right for this horse if the ground comes up soft. And he would be, you know, he's already going a little bit blue looking at some of the odds comparison screens. Mr. Vango, I can see going off about 10-1, and you can currently get a lot better than that.
Oh, there we go. Mr. Vango, currently at 16-1 shot with Unibet. Take that now, says Keith Melrose. Tell nobody, keep it to yourself, but back Mr. Vango at 16-1. That's why he's the betting editor. That's why he is so good at these staying handicap chases. It's Mr. Vango for Keith Melrose. Follow that, Tom Park.
Yeah, Mr. Vango is definitely on my shortlist.
No, it wasn't. No, but 5 minutes ago, it wasn't.
No, but he's got a class edge on you. I think you're running them races at Cheltenham. He was just so good at the start before that. Conditions might suit. The other one that I thought of, Willie Mullins, you might be able to help with this one. I thought Spanish Harlem was interesting. He's not run over this trip. Nothing near it. I think 2.5 mile. He's been a 2.5 miler all season. Light soft ground.
Jumping. It's all just jumping. He just looks like a what did I say, a Lummox over fences. He just didn't jump well at Gore in the last twice. I know it was 2.5 miles. He actually did well to get so close to San Felicien. I thought, if you could be guaranteed, if somebody could tell me, okay, Spanish Harlem is going to go into this race, he's going to jump adequately and he's not going to make a mistake, I would be all over him. But I can just see him clattering fences.
I thought with the extra distance, it might just help with his jumping a little bit. But yeah, he was last off the shortlist anyway. The one who I actually really fancy is Bally Griffin Cottage for the Skeletons again. Just
18-1 with Unibet.
Yeah, like I think he's a big price. Like he was a couple of years ago, he was a really talented novice, or even last year was it? I think I backed him for the Brown Advisory, to be honest. And then since then, it went completely peaked on. Which usually happens when I get involved anti-post. But yeah, he pulled up at the end of last season, had a wind up over the summer. He was last of three and then pulled up, but he's really turned a corner since. And I've mentioned before on the show, like, horses who have wind ups, I sometimes think it can take a couple of starts. And what I really liked about that Ascot run was he was given time to kind of get into the race. And he finished off the race really strongly to finish fifth, and then ran a much better race again at Sandown, just being touched off by Rose of Arcadia. They pulled well clear of the others. I think he's the type that's going to improve again. And if he was to get back to that novice chase form of a couple of seasons ago, I think he'd be really well handicapped off his mark. And you've just got to think that Skelton's going to have him cherry ripe. And he's had options as well, and they've kept him for this race. Yeah, I do quite like Bally Griffin Cottage here. I am surprised he's so big, given that Skelton's kind of bang there in the championship. Harry's been jocked up for this, like, all week. I just like him. I think he's Mr. Forgiveness again. You've probably got to forgive him a couple, well, certainly some bad runs, but the signs on his last two runs are he's coming back to something like we know he can produce. And if he does that, he's definitely going to be well handicapped. Whether he's got the kind of class of something like, I know you fancy Stay Away Face, so I'll kind of pass it on to that. Not one for me. I just think he's got an awful lot of weight to give away. I'm just not convinced he's a 160 horse, which he's definitely going to have to be. But I'll pass it on to you anyway.
Yeah, as you were making your case there, it reminded me of a Michael McIntyre sketch where he was doing his little thing about how certain words precede other words. And I was just thinking, when you said cherry ripe, like, nobody ever says ripe. They have to put cherry before ripe. It's like, you just can't say ripe because you have to put cherry ripe before it. But yeah, there we go. So it is... For you, Bally Griffin Cottage at 18-1. For Keith Mellows, it's Mr. Bagwell. Look, I'm not saying Stay Away Faye is a good thing or anything like it. I think if ever there was a trip and if ever there was a track for Stay Away Faye, it's probably 4 miles around there. And like something like he lost his shoe in the Brown Advisory and he sculpted dirty afterwards. But like something was obviously wrong before the race, because a horse that was 5-2 and 11-4 for so long in the lead up to the race, Antipost, to drift out to a double figure price on the exchanges, to go all the way out to 7-1 or 8-1 at some stage. Now, I know he was nimble at just before the off in 6-1, but something was drastically wrong going into the Brown Advisory. Yes, he's around 158, but by God, he is definitely the most talented horse in the race. And I thought around about 12-1, I just thought he had the class edge. But you two boys have made really good cases for Mr. Vango and Bally Griffin Cottage. We have 6 places with Unibet. And here's who Nicholson fancies.
Yeah, First of all, I don't fancy Willie Mullins to win the race, even though he's got 6 runners. There is £112,000 just the winner alone. So that's why he's got 6 runners. And he's running Mr. Incredible, who, let's face it, should be called Mr. Unreliable. He doesn't sometimes run. He sometimes gives up. He's only 7 days after the Grand National, which is in its own right is not a great stat. Horses that ran the National coming back 7 days later for the Scottish National. But also, I watched the video of the Grand National because I'm quite a sad person, just to find out how many fences Mr. Incredible actually jumped after he fell out of the chair. He jumped every single one of them. So literally, he went a whole 4.25 miles. So he's run the race, obviously without a jockey and 12 stone on his back or whatever he was carrying. But I just think there's a lot of reasons to be against Mr. Incredible and McDermott. McDermott, I think, is a horse that, you know, sometimes does struggle jumping. I just thought both of them, and they're at the top end of the market, and they're both trained by Willie Mullins. So I then looked at the other horses, and my attention went to Stay Away Fay, DJ, you'd be glad to know, but it soon went away. When I looked at the stats,
you're teasing me.
He's going to have to be an amazing horse. No horse has carried more than 11-10 to victory in this race. Well, one horse, Grey Abbey, did it. Apart from that, you've got to go all the way back to 74 when Red Rum completed the Scottish National double. It's a very difficult thing to do. And rated 105.8, it's not like he's rated 150. He's going to have to be a very good horse to win this. And he probably is, but I think there's a reasons to be against him, notably pulled up last time out at Cheltenham. So then I looked at, well, the ground. And as you say, I kind of wanted a heavy ground, soft ground horse. And there are two that came to mind. The first one is a horse that I've tipped up twice on the Racing Postcast, and twice he's let me down. And then when I didn't tip him up, he won at 18-1, the very next race, the Midlands National.
Okay, so don't tip it and just back it then.
Well, I think Beauport that day, I don't know if you remember the race, but he went wide all the way round. And I think as a horse that doesn't like to be with too many horses. I know that sounds ridiculous, but they definitely took him wide. And when he's run his races, such as Sandown, the London National, he started making ground when he was behind. And I just got a feeling he gets maybe, possibly, just my idea. So that's a bit of a worry around the tight track like Air. He will be going wide anyway, and he's been put up £5 for the victory. So that's a long way of saying that the horse I'm going for is a horse that was pulled up last time and is 33-1. And I tipped him up to win the Welsh National when he came second. So my money is going to be on Iron Bridge at 33-1. Now, if you take that pulled out, and obviously he ran the race, so that's why he was pulled up. I watched that race as well, and his jumping was appalling. I fast forwarded it, and every time I stopped at a fence, it was another poor jump by Iron Bridge. Iron Bridge didn't jump that well, and he did jump appalling. He was pulled up before the last, so he jumped 24 of the 25 fences. Of that race 35 days ago. But he previously won well in the mud, run well in the mud. I spoke to John Joe about this horse when I was at his stables a year ago, and he said he's definitely a national sort. All he does is gallop. He has to have soft ground. So if it was even good to soft, I wouldn't suggest backing him. But softer than that, I think at 33-1. He was 9-2 to win the Midlands National. And now he's 33-1.
Really fancy him.
It's just strange that he's 33. So anyway, that's my reason and logic. He shouldn't be that big a price, in my opinion. If you forgive his last run, it could even be favourite.
Okay, we're all about forgiveness on today's show.
Does need to be soft ground for that horse, doesn't it? But if it is, he is quite unsure. And fair play to you for watching Mr. Incredible jump around the International. I would not recognise that horse without his jockey scrubbing away on his back.
Well, I had to go back and find out where he was at the start and where he finished. And then the reason I looked at him, I thought he was a horse that went past second, number 10, because he looked like number 18. Mm. Then I realised it wasn't number 18. So I went all the way back and found out that it was him.
Okay, there we go. That is your Scottish National preview. There's Iron Bridge at 33-1 for Ed Nicholson. It's Mr. Bango for Keith Melrose. It's Ballygriffin College for Tom Park. I like tentatively and with the class horse in the race. And that is Stay Away Fay, the top weight. Hopefully he can do a Red Rum. Join us after the break when we'll be previewing all the action at Newbury.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Yes, welcome back to the Racing Postcast with thanks to our sponsors, Unibet. And we're going to get stuck into the Newbury card. Yes, you have to go from one mode to the other this time of year. The 130 is the Dubai Duty Free Finest Surprise Stakes. It is a Group 3 and it sees the return of Arrest for John and Teddy Gosden and Kieran Schumark. Currently favoured and quite short in the market, around about 5-4. Hamish is 7-2. Al Karem is 11-2. It's 14-1 bar. Keith Melrose, kick us off with another Newbury.
Yeah, Arrest, the only doubt is the fitness, because he's only ever really good on really soft ground, so I'm not worried about that. And yeah, I wouldn't be a particularly strong view, but I do think Arrest deserves to be that sort of short. You know, he went off favourite from last year's Derby, if you believe it. And yeah, he has looked good on softer ground before.
Excellent. I think he's going to be very hard to beat. One horse I'm going to give a shout out to at a huge price is Mujtaba, who kind of blew away the cobwebs in France last month. But I think he's a classy enough operator, and I think he could do okay this season, much to have around about 16-1. Tom Park, what do you like in the opener, Newbury?
Yeah, I'm gonna go for the old boy at Hamish. He's gonna have his conditions. A lot will depend on if he's regressed over the winter, but listen, like, he's last year he was as good as ever. The rest will be tough to beat, but Hamish goes well fresh, and like, Arrest's gonna have to improve a little bit to kind of catch up to Hamish's level if Hamish hasn't regressed. So 7-2, I think it's a fair price. I'll go for Hamish.
Okay, so one vote for Arrest, one vote for Hamish. Ed, whose camp are you coming then on?
Well, I think once again the ground is key. If it's soft, Hamish for me. He won the Unibet September Stakes on the All Weather a few years ago, and I asked Maureen Haggis about the horse, and they said that he just needs soft ground. He has to have soft ground, so they train him when the soft ground is going to be around. So they'll certainly be ready to go for this race. The worry I have with the race like the John Porter is quite a few times over the years, it's a race to get fit for another race. And quite a few of these, they're obviously trying to win, but a lot of them are in the Grade 1 races like the Yorkshire, a few other races coming up later on the season at the Dante meeting. But with that, I know that Hamish will be fit, raring to go. And I just thought, given the soft going, he's got a cracking record on those surfaces, unbeaten last year, ready to go for another good season as long as it's soft ground. 8 years old, but 7-2 thereabouts.
Yeah, 11-4 with Unibet. Arrest is currently your 5-4 favourite, but it's two votes for Hamish, and it is one for Arrest in that opening race at 1:30. Moving on to Dubai Duty Free, registered, of course, as the Fred Darling Stakes. It is a Group 3, and we have a super boost with Unibet, and currently with Unibet, your 5-2 favourites, joint favourites, I should say, is Regal Jubilee and Relief Rally. Such a cracking 2-year-old Relief Rally was. Will she trade on as a 3-year-old? Who knows? But she's not that big, but she's got a lot of toe. Falgaria is currently 9-2. El Malca is 11-2, I should say. Star Music is 7-1. And it is 12-1 bar. Ed Nicholson, this is the super boost. Where should we be sending our euros or pounds?
Yeah, boost on every single horse in this race for the next price up the ladder. It's a race that I used to love, the Fred Darling, but I'm falling out of love with it. It's no longer my darling. The race is really quite appalling for the 1,000 guineas now. Horses don't just not win it. They don't get placed. Or 11 of the last winners of this didn't win next time out. And none of them, I think only one of them got a high place in the guineas. I found this race quite difficult to look at. I'm going to go for Regal Jubilee just because of what I've read, what the Haggis has said about Relief Rally. And you've mentioned that was his year, that was her year, a 2-year-old year. And also the distance. So I'm going to go for Regal Jubilee, but I'm not confident. One race I probably wouldn't be having a bet in myself.
Okay, I think until she proves that she hasn't traded on, I think you have to be with Relief Rally. Keith Melrose, do you agree?
The horse is definitely going to improve this year. If you look at her size, is Fulgaria, the Italian horse. I watched her races in Italy. She looked physically and how she raced a different species to those horses in Italy. I can't tell you how good that form was, apart from it worked out well in Italy. The horse she beat on that penultimate run went on to win a couple of listed races over there. She just looked like a really fast horse, a strong horse for this year. And she won that mile race, despite, I think, not particularly being a miler, I would guess, not the way she's sort of bred. So I thought Fulgaria was getting overlooked a little bit because nobody knows what that form is like. If that form was even in France to a similar level, she'd be shorter than 9-2. Fulgaria was the one I thought in this race, and against a couple that could be termed a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah, she's very interesting, Fulgaria. Parky, are you a Fulgaria fan?
No, I'm with you. I think Relief Rally, I kind of, with these 2-year-olds going on to 3, until they prove that they haven't trained on, I'm kind of happy to give them a go. I think this is probably a best chance of adding another Group 3, and it's probably a best chance of kind of seeing out 7 furlongs. She's certainly not going to get any further. But look, she's the class of the field. Whether I'll be getting involved personally with my bet, I'm not sure. But I can't oppose her in terms of tipping for this race. I think she's the one where the form kind of points to, really. She was powering through the line in the Lowther, so I wouldn't be as worried as some about the trip, but we'll wait and see. It'll be a good race, but it's maybe not the classiest of races.
Okay, we'll stick with you, Parky, for the 2:40 Newbury, the Watership Down Stud. Two Darren Hawk, Greenham Stakes, the Group 3, and Zoom Zoom, the unbeaten Zoom Zoom for 8 Beckett and Rob Hornbury, 6-5. It is 13-2 Ballymount Boy, 15-2 Armenitas, 9-1 Bar. Are you a Zoom Zoom fan, Tom Park?
I like one at a really massive price here.
Oh, go for it.
Son of Richard Hannon. This is not a brilliant renewal of the race. And like Army Ethos brings the best two-year-old form, but you'd have to worry whether he trained on, given how bad he was last time. I think he's been a 2-9. Zuzum's probably the right favourite, but yeah, Son. But he was quite
well regarded. Spurs fan or not, really, I think.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, yeah. He was quite well regarded last year by the Hannans and was pitched into good company after winning a Newbury Maiden. He was then beaten 10 lengths by City of Troy in his next start. There's no shame in that. He then got a horrible trip when beaten just 2¼ lengths by Hartam in the Vintage Stakes at Goodwood. He got bumped around all over the place. And then third to Arabian Crown, beaten just 3¼ lengths. I'm not convinced he got home over the mile. They kind of switched tactics and went hard from the front. And then they did the same again in the Royal Lodge, where he had quite a lot of them in trouble a furlong out. And he just didn't quite get home. Dropping back to 7 furlongs here, I think he'll probably go out in front because I think that's kind of the way that he likes to be ridden. And this will be the first time where they've resorted to them tactics from the front over this trip. He's a massive price. He's like 33-1. And I'm looking at this race thinking, well, is there anything actually really that classy? And if you take out Army Ethos, he's actually the highest rated horse in the field. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got a big chance. I certainly think he'll outwin his odds.
Okay, 33-1 in the place, 20-1 with Unibet. So it is Son for Tom Park. Keith Melrose?
Room service for me. Big price on what he did at Doncaster. The horse has taken up 2/3 of the betting. We're second and third. He's actually getting underrated. Could be a proper horse this year.
Excellent. Room service for Keith Melrose and Fred Nicholson.
I agree with Tom. 33-1.
Son,
The stats to this race are quite interesting. Previous winners at Newbury do well. 4 of the last 11 winners have had a win at Newbury. Son's had that. 11 out of 11 had their first run of season. And finally, Richard Hannon loves this race. Senior won it 6 times. Junior's won it twice. So Son at 33-1. And as Tom eloquently said, he's one of the highest rated horses in the race.
Excellent. 2 votes for Son. There we go. And 1 for room service in the green. And moving on to the 3:15. It is the Spring Cup, the OLBG Spring Cup, and it is wide open, as you would expect. Currently, Latam is your 50-2 favourite with Unibet. Radabarg is 8-1. It is 9-1 Navaggio. It is 10-1 Godwinston, and it is 12-1 Bar, I should say. Right, Ed, what wins the Spring Cup?
Well, we've got 5 places, first of all, and you'll need it because it's a really difficult race. When I was looking at this race earlier on in the week, I put down Mr. Professor. That doesn't run, but I'm interested to see that owners run another horse in the race, Radabarge. So I had a quick look at that horse's form. Ran in Ireland, a third in there, Lincoln, and won it the previous year. Still quite well handicapped based upon that win. Ran well, third there last time. Just thought, given that I fancy Mr. Professor, obviously it doesn't mean that this one's going to run well just because they're in the same ownership. But I found it interesting that they've got this horse in the race and has been well supported. And the key for me, William Buick is riding for George Bowie.
Excellent. Keith, Spring Cup.
I thought the third in the British Lincoln was the one to be with. Navaggio, that was his first run for James Horton, came from absolutely nowhere, picked through, found trouble everywhere, got bumped into, still finished third. I think he'll come off with that runner, and I think he's been massively missed.
Oh, there we go. And to complete the set, Tom Park.
Yeah, I like Tawada here. Really promising last year, just he kept getting, he was too keen in his races and it probably stopped him kind of progressing. Gelded over the winter, which could really help with that. And I'm convinced of it, as he'll be a better horse than 94. And Ed Walker's in pretty good form. So, yeah, Tawada for me.
Our smart few race cards have been knocking it out of the park. Here's how to read the form.
Fancy a bet, but find it confusing? Do not fear. SmartView is here to help you. We've taken the traditional race card and removed all the jargon and abbreviations which can be daunting for newcomers. The result is a race card that means making informed choices and picking winners is easier than ever. Our racing experts and data scientists have created an algorithm that puts everything a seasoned punter would consider into the attribute bars you see on the race card and assesses each runner with an overall score out of 100.
So don't forget to take a look at what Smart View fancies in the Scottish National. But all that's left to do now is reveal our naps of the weekend. We'll start with Ed Nicholson from our sponsors Unibet. The best bet this weekend is?
3 o'clock, Air Larch Mount Lass.
Oh no, Ed, we're taking each other on. Oh, I am with Coco Mademoiselle in the same race. Tom Park.
Lodisud in these 225 at Air.
Okay, the first of 2.3 million winners for Dan Skelton on Saturday, according to Tom Park. And for Keith Melrose.
I expect he's 10-1 by the time people see this, but it's going to be Mr. Vango in a big race.
Oh, go big or go home. Keith Melrose, there you go. That is our racing postcast with thanks to our sponsors, Unibet. Many thanks to Ed Nicholson, who's been in terrific form over the last couple of weeks. To our betting editor, Keith Melrose. To Tom Park, I've been David Jennings. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to stay tuned in next weekend.